Hi there, you're about to enjoy a recording from Wellspring Church in North Bushy. You may have found us via our website, wellspring-church.org. You can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. But even better, why not come to one of our services in one of our congregations? We would love to meet you and encourage you along your journey of faith. With that in mind, do know that we are praying for you, that as you listen to this recording, you'll be inspired, encouraged, challenged, given keys to live life to the full as Jesus intended, and to bring transformation with his amazing love to the people around you. God bless you.
We come to points in our lives and we've got decisions to make. And it might be we have decisions about what to do with our time, what to do with our talents. We have decisions about where we live, about what we do, where we live, about what job we apply for, about whether or not we go for that promotion at work. We have these decisions to make. And one of the things that we turn to, I trust for those of us who are followers of Christ, is we turn to this, the Bible. And we believe the Bible teaches us supremely. We are not in authority over the text, but actually we're under its authority. So if the Bible's clear about something, then that's enough for me. If the Bible gives clear enough direction, then we, you know, then what part of this do we not understand? Well, the honest answer is, well, some parts of this I really don't understand. The more I read and study it, sometimes I understand less of it. Nonetheless, we understand that the Word of God teaches us. But it was never meant to be that the Word of God on its own was enough. This is my conviction anyway. The Word and the Holy Spirit are meant to work together. We are people of the Word, but we're also people of the Spirit. And our conviction is that we are led by the Spirit to work out what the Bible teaches. I'd even go a little bit further. It's not just the Word that we need. It's not just the Holy Spirit. But we also need the church. We need each other. And I want to think about how can we be led by the Spirit of God together? That's what we're going to look at. It's kind of part of the Power of Permission series that I've been teaching, because my intention has been to lay a foundation in Wellspring Church for the future. You see, we are not autonomous individuals, not alone. Of course, we make our own choices, like where we live or what we do with our time. But whenever we make a choice, it affects other people around us. So we don't exist on our own. And actually, we are to be Spirit-led and expect God to use each other to lead us along the way. And it's all down to whether or not we give permission. So Salma and I are talking, and she gets a bit of wisdom from heaven for me. Now, she could tell me something that God wants to say to me, but whether or not I listen is whether or not I give her permission to speak into my life. Imagine the dynamic when under God, we, as it says in Ephesians 5, it says we are to submit to each other out of reverence for Christ. Do you know the actual language that Paul uses in Ephesians 5 there, and this isn't my main message, but it's in the background, is to obey one another, as in to be in submission to one another out of submission to Christ. In other words, we're never meant to be just, well, it's me, myself, and Jesus. Actually, Paul says in the church, he wanted the church in Ephesus to submit to each other because we submit to Christ. And I want to demonstrate how even the Apostle Paul was submissive within the body of Christ. Even the great apostle was able to receive the word of God from people who some would say were lesser than him in hierarchy. I want to talk about the power of permission to let him lead us together. Now, at the end of this story, this is a story from the book of Acts. And if you've got your Bibles, you're going to need to open them in chapter 16. If you've got a phone, then maybe find your phone app. I'm hoping at least some of you have got access to the Word of God today in some kind of form. We're going to look at Acts chapter 16. I'll give you a moment just to go there. And where we're leading with this, just so you know, we're sat around tables, is we're going to spend some time before we finish around our tables praying. praying for each other, praying for what God's doing together, and listening as we do that. That's our intention. Then we're going to finish with a song of worship, one that's familiar to all of us, and we're going to give our offering as part of our worship together. Acts chapter 16. Now, I want to give you a spoiler. This is how the story ends, and it's a fantastic story. This story ends with the gospel going to an unreached country. This story ends with a church being planted in a city where there had been no church. This story ends with the gospel going beyond borders to somewhere new that it hadn't been before. It also ends with a lady called Lydia, who's a leader in the fashion industry. She's a business leader, an employer, someone with influence. She becomes a Christian because she comes across the Apostle Paul and his followers on a riverbank. And because of what happens there, a revival begins because of one woman called Lydia and her family. Then in the end, there's kind of on the way before all of this revival really takes grip. There's a time in prison and an earthquake and singing in prison. Remember, I heard the story, Paul and Silas singing in prison. That's kind of on the way to this revival. There's a lot of pain, but there's a lot of joy in the prison. And then the earthquake and the jailer's family give their lives to Jesus. So on the way, there's amazing things happening. But think about the end. The end goal is that a church is planted. Now, I want to show you how that story begins, because it's quite phenomenal. It begins by the prevention of the Holy Spirit. It begins by the Holy Spirit redirecting the path. So we're going to look at Acts chapter 16. And the first five verses, you'll see verse 5, shows the general mission that they are on. Okay, Paul and the apostles and his crowd, his crew, they are on a mission to encourage existing churches. It says in verse 5, so the churches were strengthened in their faith and they grew larger every day. So they're on a mission to encourage churches. They've got in mind where they're going to go. And I've got a map in a moment that I'm going to somehow make work out of some masking tape and a table. I've never done that before in 20 years of preaching. So anyway, so next, this is from verse 6 of Acts chapter 16. In fact, does somebody want to read it for me from 6 through to 10? Somebody just shout it out where you are, nice and loud. Who's got it? Sam, have you got it? Yeah, go for it.
Now, when they had gone through...
You've got to pronounce it now. It's right, Phrygia.
Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they had tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now after he'd seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them.
Okay, so they end with clarity, but on the way they don't have clarity. Have you ever been in a situation in your life where you look back and you think, that is what God was doing? But at the time you think, what is going on? Now think about it. And I don't know, I have no idea if this is going to work. I don't know if you can see this. Can you ever more or less see it? Okay, they start off at Iconium, all right? That is Iconium. That little square of gaffer tape is Iconium. Now, because of the topography, it's in Turkey, okay? Modern day Turkey. It's called Asia Minor at the time. And so they go up between around some lakes, and the natural place to go, it says in the text, is to go towards the big place of Ephesus. Okay, there's a mountain range, there's a valley. They could go over here and go down towards Ephesus. Anyone been to where Ephesus is in Turkey on holiday? Okay, so you might have seen it. It's a natural place, it's the obvious place to go. At that time, it was a large population area, and we know there was already a church there. So Paul and his crew were thinking, well, we're going to go to where there is a church already. We're going to go and encourage them. They set out on their way, and it says the Holy Spirit prevented them from going down to Ephesus. That's where they're heading. Now, I don't know what happened about how the Holy Spirit prevented them. Because think about this. They're on the way to do the Lord's work. They're on the way to fulfill the Great Commission. They're just getting on with what God's asked them to do. And God says, actually, no. And so they don't go to Ephesus. Forget that. We'll scrap that. They end up, they think, well, we're not going to go back east. We're not going to go back to Iconium. So we can't go west, so let's go north. And they're heading north to a place up here, which is, actually, let's leave Ephesus there. You get some general idea. They're going to go up and they think, well, we know the Holy Spirit wants us to go north. If we're not going to go west, we'll go north. And there's natural paths that go up through mountain ranges. And this is what they're thinking, I reckon, on the way. Well, we've never been to Bithynia before. There's no church in Bithynia. So let's go north to Bithynia and plant a church. Maybe they're already praying for Bithynia. They're on their way. Oh, it's going to be great. In Bithynia, Paul's saying, like, Silas, you can preach and you do this and I'll do that. And we'll pray for the sick and we're going to plant a church. They're on their way up to Bithynia. And what does the text say? They get to a place called Mysia. Now, there is actually a river here. And I'd love to draw on this table, but we'd be charged by the school. There's a river here. I reckon maybe they get to the edge of the river. Or some other reason. It says the Spirit of Jesus prevented them from going to Bithynia. Imagine that. Did they have a feeling together? Maybe somebody said, you know what? I'm not sure this is what God is doing. Maybe somebody at the border, maybe somebody threatened them with violence. The text doesn't say. We're left guessing. The main point of this is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, who transformed Paul's life and was Saul and became Paul. The same Jesus who called them and said, now go and preach to the nations, is now telling them not to go to Bithynia. But Jesus, you told us to go to the nations. The thing is, it wasn't Bithynia's time. It wasn't Bithynia's time. God had something else in mind. In fact, he had somebody called Lydia by a riverbank that there was a divine appointment. So they're on their way to, I'm going to move this closer, otherwise we're going to, my map. So there's Ephesus there, Bithynia. They're on their way to Bithynia. They get to Mysia. And the text says the Spirit of Jesus prevented them. Well, we're not going east because that's kind of where Bithynia is up there. We're not going to go south. We're not going back. And please, Lord, don't just take us back to where we've already been. I mean, that's our thing, isn't it? We want to move forward in life. We get that. We're not going to go back. We're not going east. We're not. Well, and then the natural route was then to carry on going west. And they end up in a place called Troas. And Troas is a shipping port. It's a place where there's lots of transport, people going across. And across the sea is a place they've not been before with the gospel. No one's ever heard about the resurrection of Jesus in this area. And they get to Troas and they're like, okay, we're going to wait on God. We're going to pray. And when that happens, what happens? Colin, tell us what happens when they're in Troas.
That night, Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia and northern Greece was standing there pleading with them, come over to Macedonia and help
them. Yeah. So Paul's sleeping and a dream. I don't know how he knew the man was from Macedonia. Did he have a special costume on? Did he have a map? Or was it a Macedonian leader? I don't know. They didn't. How did he know? But somehow he knew. Maybe it was the language he spoke in or his dialect, because Paul was well aware of it. So for some reason, he woke up. And over breakfast that morning, can you imagine this? They're sitting there having their McMuffin or whatever they had. And Paul's like, guys, I've got to share something. I had this dream. And it's like, oh, yeah, it was a bit hot last night and really muggy by the sea. I had some strange dreams as well. And then Paul, I had this dream. There was a man from Macedonia, which is now kind of Greece, right? Macedonia, who said, come and help us. And so, well, the only help we're going to give them is the gospel. There's no evidence that they ever met that man. It was a prophecy. So at that moment, so the apostle has a dream, but what is actually needed is the apostle needs a team. And so if they'd said, look, oh, actually you had that hummus last night was definitely off, you know, that kebab was badly cooked last night. I think probably it's just indigestion. They all together seem to say, Yeah, our leader, our apostle, has had a dream, and this is the Holy Spirit. Interestingly, Paul had to submit that to them because what started with his dream became their dream because they agreed together. And so Luke at this point, you'll notice how the language changes. Luke, who's writing this text, Luke says, so we decided to leave Troas and to go over to Macedonia. We decided. Hang on a minute, but it was Paul's dream. But somehow in that conflab, in that prayer, they decided together to go over. And they travel over the sea. There's a place in the middle called, Samothrace. So I don't know how to... there's an island in the middle. They go there. They end up in Troas, okay? They're from Troas. They end up here on the other side in Philippi. And there in that place, if you read the rest of the story, you can do that in your own time. They go to a riverbank. They're praying. They're saying, God, why have you brought us over here? We don't know these people. We don't know this culture. We must be here for the gospel. And there's a woman called Lydia by a riverbank. One conversation. They went down to where people were going to pray. They thought about where to go. And because of what happened in Lydia's heart when they explained the gospel of Jesus Christ, she leads her family to the Lord. Then they end up with amazing things happening. There are signs and wonders. There's a girl that's set free from demonic influence. There's a following now. And then they end up being thrown in prison. And then there's an earthquake because they prayed. And then the jailer becomes a follower of Christ. And then now a church begins and the church is born and a revival kicks off and a completely unreached community is transformed with the love of God in Christ. It's amazing. Through one conversation with one woman called Lydia, everything opens up. And this is my thinking about permission. I wonder how we are with letting the Holy Spirit lead us. Really. I wonder whether we have just got everything planned out really nicely and neatly. Maybe we've got our week planned out this week. I'm going to do this on Monday. I'm going to do this on Tuesday. I'm going to do this on Wednesday. And just about this time, then this is going to happen. I wonder if we're really leaving room for the Holy Spirit to lead us personally, let alone us together as a church. Really letting him lead us. Will we give him permission to do that? Lord, lead us. Where do you want us to go? You see, because they're getting permitted, they end up from Iconium. They thought they were going to go here. They thought they were going to go here. They end up here because they were going to go here by a riverbank, one woman, and revival. Amazing. Imagine if when they had come to turn west and southwest to go back down to Ephesus, if they kept going anyway. Lydia, still waiting by a riverbank, not heard the gospel. Imagine if they'd carried on to Bithynia just out of bloody-mindedness, out of just determination to do well. We know what we're going to do now. We're on a mission. Forbid it that we should ever be so convinced by our own strategies that we fail to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. He's got plans and they're better than our plans. And you can tell as Luke writes this story, he's amazed by what happened. He's amazed that from one dream of the apostle and they gather together as a team, what is actually possible to open up. We should be grateful for these men and women because they did what the Holy Spirit led them to do. Otherwise, the gospel would have stayed in Jerusalem or been limited to Ephesus. It would never have got to Philippi or Corinth. It definitely would never have got to the British Isles if it wasn't for people willing to go where the Holy Spirit led them when he led them to go there. I wonder what the conversations were like on that way. I wonder how the Holy Spirit led them. I bet you it was a shared thing. You know where it says the Holy Spirit wouldn't let them preach the gospel? I bet somebody had a feeling. They're just, I'm not sure this is where we're meant to do this. Oh, but see, yeah, that's a good thing to do, but there's something great ahead of us. We need to make sure we don't allow the good to stand in the way of the great. Here in North Bushy, let's not be so convinced that we know what the great is, because actually the Lord can do so much more than we could ask or imagine. We just need to be obedient to what he's saying to us now, and we trust that he will follow through. And we'll look back and say, wow, if we'd stuck to our plans and our ways, we would have just been grinding the handle of predictability. I'm convinced that too much of who we are and what we do is predictable. You know, God is consistent, but he's not predictable. The problem sometimes across the church as a whole, of course, never Wellspring Church, right? Never, is that we can end up being inconsistent and predictable. Whereas God's called us to be consistent in our values and where, in what our heart, our love for God, but we shouldn't be so predictable, should we? And after 20 years, interestingly, Dan prayed that I wouldn't suffer from boredom. That's a very insightful prayer. I don't know if I said the wrong thing in the wrong context. But after 20 years, you know, of leading Wellspring Church, what a privilege it's been. There are some times you think, Lord, I want you to do something new. And he's not like, well, no. He says, keep going, but there's some great things ahead. I believe he's saying today to us, keep going, there's some great things ahead. Don't be the servant of the good when you could be the inheritor of the great. So let's trust the Holy Spirit in what he wants to do. Amen? And it all started with the Holy Spirit knowing what he wanted to do. Just a few ideas of some lies and truths. And then I want to bring this into land specifically for us here in North Bushy. One of the lies the enemy tries to teach us is that God doesn't direct us. You know, some people think, well, he set the world in motion and then it just carries on and we just live out our own lives as we make our own choices. I understand from this text that the Lord loves to lead us. He really loves to lead us. Even on a daily basis, there are some things, there are some conversations, some things. He loves to lead us. Not like a puppeteer. We get choices. We get 1,000 choices every day. But he loves to lead us. Go on, try this. See that person there. Say this, say that. He loves to do that. It's a lie that he doesn't direct us. I don't believe it. And it's not borne out by this text. We're talking about good men and women. Some of our heroes in the faith are told not to do something that is good because God does something great for them. In fact, that's my second lie, that this idea that no is always negative. Oh, God wouldn't say no to me. He's kind. Yeah, he's so kind, sometimes he says no to you. And even if you ignore that first no, he might say the second no, the third no, the fourth, because he loves you. No is not always negative. In fact, no makes way for yes. The lie is that no is always negative. The truth is that no can make way for yes. And they were prevented from doing one thing because he had a big yes for them. It's okay if you've got, and this has been said many times, if you've got a big enough yes, then any no is not, as in there's no no that's too big if you've got a big enough yes. I know I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to look at that. I'm not going to do this because I've got a big yes. One of the ladies that we're encouraging into newfound faith, in fact, she was at the Mark Ritchie event last night with us, we're just talking about the lack of a big yes in their life. I realize I've got nothing to live for. I'm married, I've got kids, but that's not enough. There's something more. I want a big yes. People in North Bushy are crying out for a big yes. So no is just another way, it's kind of on the way to yes. Thirdly, one of the lies is that our daily choices make no difference. Oh, it doesn't really matter. Which way you drive to work doesn't really matter. Doesn't really matter how you do your job, how you phrase your emails, how you deal with that member of staff. Doesn't really matter. No one's watching. I think this text tells us that today's steps could transform someone else's tomorrow. The things we do today, there's some Lydias, the other side of our obedience that we haven't even met yet. There's some conversations, the other side. There's some things that God wants to do. Transformation is the other side of our obedience. So what we do today really does matter. Now, that doesn't mean we should be like this every day. What am I going to do? Oh no, what am I going to put on my toast? If I Marmite jam Marmite. Lord, what do you want me to put on my toast? Now, I'm not sure he really cares about what you put on your toast, unless you're allergic to one or the other, or if you've had too much toast. I don't know. I'm not expecting that we're meant to be leading our lives waiting all the time for a word from the Lord for everything. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that today's choices, particularly about where we go and what we do, they could make a difference for someone else's tomorrow. The fourth lie is that where and when doesn't matter. Oh, well, I could live anywhere. You see, we live in this world of anywheres, and I've spoken about this before. We could live anywhere in the world. If we've got an internet connection, we can FaceTime with all the other people around the world. It doesn't matter where we are. It doesn't matter where we live, what our house is like. It doesn't matter the people we interact with. It's just all random. This tells us that there is a time and a place, because ultimately Bithynia would get a church. Ultimately, Bithynia would receive the gospel, just not then. It wasn't that place's time. I pray that God would give us wisdom for North Bushy to know, because I believe there is a time and a place, and I believe North Bushy is a place, and now is the time. So in our own lives and together, what does that require us to be and to do? And finally, final lie is that you're on your own. And the truth is, we journey together. We journey together. Just sat here, we journey together. We're not on our own. God's called us into family. And as I said last time, we were talking about the power of permission. We need to let other people into our world and let other people correct us and challenge us and comfort us. We're not on our own. The lie of the world is that we're on our own. The truth isn't. Interestingly, I remember when the National Lottery was first launched. What was the hand? The hand came down, and what was the advert? Can you remember? It could be you. Yeah. Now, interestingly, the National Lottery billboards say, "Who wins when you win?" You can see it all around the town. Who wins when you win? That's their new campaign. Even the National Lottery is realizing it's no longer a sufficient motivator to think of ourselves as cut off, disparate individuals. We've been called it. Yeah, if I win the lottery, then guess what? You're getting a new car. Now, actually, Martin, I should say that in front of you. If I get a big enough win in the National Lottery, you can have a new car. I'd need to buy a ticket first, but don't hold out. But isn't it interesting that we're longing for a sense of belonging, that we're in this together, that this text tells us that Luke got hold of the apostles' dream and he saw what happened. I found myself this week doing DIY in a house in the middle of a random community in Stevenage. And I love DIY, and I've done a number of kitchens in my own houses. And to be frank with you, if the finances in the church were much healthier, if we'd had a download, if we'd won the National Lottery, we might have got someone else to do the whole of the house. We got builders in to do bits and bobs. But to be honest, even if we had all the money we could ever dreamed of to make it look like a show home, the reason I was there with my tools this week is because the Lord told me to. When Magdi Torfik, a member of our leadership team, and I were first driving and praying around Stevenage, this is about 3 years ago, the Lord showed me a sign on the side of Wicks where it says trade and DIY. And the Lord said, "I want you to trade and DIY." And I wrote it in my journal. It didn't really make sense to me at the time. As time went on, we realized, we were advised that legally we needed to amalgamate the charities of the two churches and effectively trade and receive the deeds of the house into Wellspring Church. That was the trade. So what was left in the house was the DIY. And I'm there this week, and I stayed overnight, two nights, to pray. Honestly, for me, praying and doing like that is a really great place for me to meet with the Lord while I'm painting a wall or cutting a cupboard or fixing something. I know some of you look at me like I'm deranged, but I meet with the Lord when I'm working with wood. He's a carpenter, I guess, so maybe it's something to do with that. Anyway, I'm doing this because the Lord said trade and DIY. And every time I'm doing that, Lord, you said to do this, and I've come to the end of my desire to do any DIY in Stevenage now, but I feel like it was just what the Lord said. And all along, I know the Lord has great things in store for that community. I know he has. And I believe that there is a great harvest that will come from all the seeds of prayer. A family, John and Jody and their two kids, as I've already said, are moving lock, stock and barrel. New schools, new community, a passion in their heart to see people one for Jesus. That's amazing, isn't it? Who would move? Who would do that? Who would move their family, their adolescent kids, to a new community for the sake of the gospel? God's going to do great things in that place. I know he is. Prayer walk around that place. I know he's going to do something in Chels. There are some Lydias in that community that are going to be the spark of a new move of God in Stevenage. Finally, let me say this about North Bushy. We're here today not because of anyone's brilliance, not because we've got everything right, not because we've not made any mistakes, but we're here in North Bushy because I was on retreat. I was in the center of Watford. I felt the Lord say that we should go beyond the border of Watford and plant a church. I sat on it for a while, not literally. I did write it in my journal. I didn't literally sit on it. But I just waded up over a couple of weeks. And then we had a leadership team meeting. I said, guys, I just want to share this with you. Is I believe God wants us to go beyond borders and plant a church. Take a group of people and to pray and praise in a place and see something happen. And then I wrote in the journal, North Bushy, ? I could show you the journal. As I did that, I felt the Holy Spirit. It was like the man from Macedonia kind of thing. I felt, this is it. This is what God wants to do. And so we're here kind of because, and if I have any apostolic gift, it's more like a Barnabas than a Paul, I think. I'm more of an encourager than a dictator. No, not Paul's a dictator, but everyone's different, aren't they? But I saw something and I still see that same thing. I believe God loves this community. And I believe he's going to do great things. I believe he is doing great things in North Bushy and the dream will become a reality. And so I commend you not just for being here and sticking around, because there is a type of faith, we were just talking about this, that sticks around. That great things are going to happen through our obedience. And this is where I think it's good to land it, is we're going to pray in a minute around our tables for this. Can we pray that over this summer, with the open brunch, with being maybe having a bit more space in our heads, if we've got some time off work or maybe just a change of venue, is that the Lord wants to do something new. Whatever's happened in this building so far, we thank God for it. Whatever happened before in Highwood, we thank God for it. There's something new happening. And we need together, to hear the mind of Christ. Yes, God has gifted us with leaders to follow. And Dan is so, with it together with the team, so heartfelt and open ear to, okay, Lord, what do you want us to do as we are? Can we pray in a moment that we would together hear the leading of the Lord? And would also be willing to go with the dream, the apostolic dream. I see a building of our own. I see hundreds of people from the residential area of North Bushy giving their lives to Christ. I can see it. In fact, I won't be surprised when I see it. It's no different from seeing the vision of a building in the center of Watford when we were 60 people meeting in a school hall. I kind of saw it before we saw it. It was about 15 years in the gap between those two things. Just time. But I saw it before we saw it. And I believe the same is going to happen here. Or something unique to North Bushy, but something's going to happen here. So can we pray for that? I also want to say one final thing. And that is in our own lives. If we find ourselves today at a junction point where we're seeking for God to direct us, then maybe you might, let's pray generally for North Bushy all together. But maybe if you feel that you've got something you just want to say to the person opposite, the person next to you, can I just pray this one thing? Let's be open to the Holy Spirit, because it might be that that nudge in the Holy Spirit is sets you on a new trajectory. It could be like a no of God that leads to a great yes for someone else. Let's be open to that and see how the Holy Spirit might want to lead us. So, and then I guess let's look out for the Lydias as a result. Because that conversation in the corner shop could see a family come to Christ. That colleague at work that you do something kind for, that could be the beginning of transformation. And only heaven knows the potential in those moments of obedience. So around the tables now, just for 5 minutes or so, can we pray first for God's leading for this congregation, that God would show us exactly what he wants us to do, what he wants us to stop doing and start doing, and expect that he's going to bring greatness and not just goodness through that. Let's do that for a few minutes together around the table. If you don't know who you're praying with, introduce yourself first, okay? And then we're going to pray.
Thanks so much for listening to this recording. We hope it's encouraged you, challenged you, and more than anything, that you've been aware of the voice of God and the presence of Jesus with you wherever you've been listening to this recording. Hey, if you have a testimony of what God is doing in your life and how he's speaking to you that you'd like to share with us, we'd love to hear from you. Just email admin@wellspring-church.org. Do get in touch. We can't wait to hear from you. And may God be near you and his peace be yours for the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.